Chapter 32. And others of the late ministry. I believe you begin to think there will be no peace. The wicks here are sure it cannot be, and stocks are fallen again. But I am confident there will, unless France plays us tricks, and you may venture a wager with any of your Whig acquaintance, that we shall not have another campaign. You will get more by it than by Omber, sirrah. I let slip telling you yesterday's journal, which I thought to have done this morning, but blundered. I dined yesterday at Harry Coote's, with Lord Hatton, 8, Mr. Finch, a son of Lord Nottingham, and Sir Andrew Fountain. I left them soon, but here they stayed till 2 in the morning, and were all drunk. And so good night for last night, and good night for tonight. You blundering goose cap, and you ashamed to blunder to young ladies? I shall have a fire in 3 or 4 days now, oh oh. 30. I was today in the city concerting some things with a printer, and am to be tomorrow all day busy with Mr. Secretary about the same. I won't tell you now, but the ministers reckon it will do abundance of good, and open the eyes of the nation, who are half bewitched against a peace. Few of this generation can remember anything but war and taxes, and they think it is as it should be, whereas 'tis certain we are the most undone people in Europe, as I am afraid I shall make appear beyond all contradiction. But I forgot, I won't tell you what I will do, nor what I will not do. So let me alone, and go to Stoyt, and give Goody Stoyt and Catherine my humble service. I love Goody Stoyt better than Goody Walls. Who'll pay me for this green apron? I will have the money. It cost 10 shillings and 6 pence. I think it blackeye dear for a cheap thing, but they said that English silk would cockle 9, and I know not what. You have the making into the bargain. 'Tis right Italian. I have sent it and the pamphlets to Lee, and will send the miscellanies and spectacles in a day or two. I would send more, but, faith, I'm plague-eye poor at present. 31. The devil's in this secretary. When I went this morning he had people with him, but says he, we are to dine with Prior today, and then we'll do all our business in the afternoon. A 2, Prior sends word he is otherwise engaged. Then the secretary and I go, and dine with Brigadier Britton, sit till 8, grow merry, no business done, he is in haste to see Lady Jersey. 10, we part, and appoint no time to meet again. This is the fault of all the present ministers, teasing me to death for my assistance, laying the whole weight of their affairs upon it, yet slipping opportunities. Lord Treasurer mends every day, though slowly. I hope he will take care of himself. Pray, will you send to Parvisel, to send me a bill of £20, as soon as he can, for I want money. I must have money, I will have money, sirs. November 1. I went today into the city, to settle some business with Stratford, and to dine with him, but he was engaged, and I was so angry I would not dine with any other merchant, but went to my printer, and ate a bit, and did business of mischief with him, and I shall have the spectacles and miscellany tomorrow, and leave them with Lee. A fine day always makes me go into the city, if I can spare time, because it is exercise, and that does me more good than anything. I have heard nothing, since of my head, but a little, I don't know how, sometimes. But I am very temperate, especially now the treasurer is ill, and the ministers often at Hampton Court, and the secretary not yet fixed in his house, and I hate dining with many of my old acquaintance. Here has been a fellow discovered going out of the East India House with £16,000 in money and bills. He would have escaped, if he had not been so uneasy with thirst, that he stole out before his time, and was caught. But what is that to M.D.? I wish we had the money, provided the East India Company was never the worse. You know we must not covet, etc. Our weather, for this fortnight past, is checkered, a fair and a rainy day. This was very fine, and I have walked 4 miles. Wish M.D. would do so, lazy sluttikins. 2. It has rained all day with a continuendo, and I went in a chair, to dine with Mrs. Van. All was there in a very rainy day. But I made a shift to to come back afoot. I live a very retired life, pay very few visits, and keep but very little company. I read no newspapers. I am sorry I sent you the Examiner, for the printer is going to print them in a small volume. It seems the author is too proud to have them printed by subscription, though his friends offered, they say, to make it worth £500 to him. The Spectators are likewise printing in a larger and a smaller volume, so I believe they are going to leave them off, and indeed people grow weary of them, though they are often prettily written. We have had no news for me to send you now towards the end of my letter. The Queen has the gout a little. I hoped the Lord Treasurer would have had it too, but Radcliffe told me yesterday it was the rheumatism in his knee and foot. However, he mends, and I hope, will be abroad in a short time. I am told they design giving away several employments before the Parliament sits, which will be the 13th instant. I either do not like, or not understand this policy, and if Lord Treasurer does not mend soon, they must give them just before the session. But he is the greatest procrastinator in the world. 3. A fine day this, and I walked a pretty deal. I stuffed the secretary's pockets with papers, which he must read, and settle at Hampton Court, where he went today, and stay some time. They have no lodgings for me there, so I can't go, for the town is small, chargeable, and inconvenient. Lord Treasurer had a very ill night last night, with much pain in his knee and foot, but is easier today. And so I went to visit Prior about some business, and so he was not within, and so Sir Andrew Fountain made me dine today again with Mrs. Van, and I came home soon, remembering this must go tonight, and that I had a letter of M.D.'s to answer. Oh Lord, where is it? Let me see. So, here it is. You grudge writing so soon. Pox on that bill. The woman would have me manage that money for her. I do not know what to do with it now I have it. I am like the unprofitable steward in the gospel. I laid it up in a napkin. There thou hast what is thine own, etc. Well, I know of your new mayor.
I'll tell you a pun. A fishmonger owed a man 2 crowns, so he sent him a piece of badling and a tench, and then said he was paid. How is that now? Find it out, for I won't tell it you. Which of you finds it out?
Well, but as I was saying, what care I for your mayor? I fancy Ford may tell Forbes right about my returning to Ireland before Christmas, or soon after. I'm sorry you did not go on with your story about pray God you be John. I never heard it in my life, and wonder what it can be. Ah, Stella, Faith, you leaned upon your Bible, to think what to say when you read that. Yes, that story of the secretary's making me an example is true. Never heard it before. Why, how could you hear it? Is it possible to tell you the 100th part of what passes in our companies here? The secretary is as easy with me as Mr. Addison was. I have often thought what a splutter Sir William Temple makes about being Secretary of State.
11.
I think Mr. St. John the greatest young man I ever knew. Wit. Capacity, beauty, quickness of apprehension, good learning, and an excellent taste, the best orator in the House of Commons, admirable conversation, good nature, and good manners, generous, and a despiser of money. His only fault is talking to his friends in way of complaint of too great a load of business, which looks a little like affectation. And he endeavors too much to mix the fine gentleman and man of pleasure with the man of business. What truth and sincerity he may have I know not. He is now but 32, and has been secretary above a year. Is not all this extraordinary, how he stands with the Queen and Lord Treasurer I have told you before? This is his character, and I believe you will be diverted by knowing it. I writ to the Archbishop of Dublin, Bishop of Cloyne,
12,
and of Clare together, 5 weeks ago from Windsor. I hope they had my letters. Pray know if Clare had his. Fit for your physician and his advice, Madam Dingley. If I grow worse, I will, otherwise I will trust to temperance and exercise. Your fall of the leaf. What care I when the leaves fall? I am sorry to see them fall with all my heart, but why should I take physic? Because leaves fall off from trees. That won't hinder them from falling. If a man falls from a horse, must I take physic for that? This arguing makes you mad, but it is true right reason, not to be disproved. I am glad at heart to hear poor Stella's better. Use exercise and walk, spend patents and spare potions, wear out clocks and waste claret. Have you found out my pun of the fishmonger? Don't read a word more till you have got it. And Stella's handsome again, you say? And is she fat? I have sent to lead a set of examiners. The first 13 were written by several hands, some good, some bad. The next 3 and 30 were all by one hand. That makes 46. Then that author, 13, whoever he was, laid it down on purpose to confound guessers. And the last 6 were written by a woman. 14, then there is an account of Giscard by the same woman, but the facts sent by Presto. Then an answer to the letter to the Lords about Craig by Presto, Prior's journey by Presto, vindication of the Duke of Marlborough, entirely by the same woman. Comment on Eyre's sermon by the same woman, only hints sent to the printer from Presto to give her. 15, then there's the miscellany, an apron for Stella, a pound of chocolate, without sugar, for Stella, a fine snuff rasp of ivory, given me by Mrs. St. John for Dingley, and a large roll of tobacco, which she must hide, or cut shorter out of modesty, and 4 pair of spectacles for the Lord knows who. There's the cargo, I hope it will come safe. Oh, Mrs. Masham and I are very well. We write to one another, but it is upon business. I believe I told you so before. Pray pardon my forgetfulness in these cases. Poor Presto can't help it. M.D. shall have the money as soon as Took gets it. And so I think I have answered all, and the paper is out, and now I have fetched up my week, and will send you another this day fortnight. Why, you rogues, 2 crowns make 10 shilling. 16, you are so dull you could never have found it out. Farewell, etc., etc. Letter 34. London, November 3, 1711. My 33rd lies now before me just finished, and I am going to seal and send it, so let me know whether you would have me add anything. I gave you my journal of this day, and it is now 9 at night, and I am going to be busy for an hour or two. 4. I left a friend's house today where I was invited, just when dinner was setting on, and pretended I was engaged, because I saw some fellows I did not know, and went to Sir Matthew Dudley's, where I had the same inconvenience, but he would not let me go, otherwise I would have gone home, and sent for a slice of mutton and a pot of ale, rather than dine with persons unknown, as bad, for aught I know, as your deans, parsons, and curates. Bad slabby weather today. Now methinks I write at ease, when I have no letter of M.D.'s to answer. But I mistook, and have got the large paper. The Queen is laid up with the gout at Hampton Court. She is now seldom without it any long time together. I fear it will wear her out in a very few years. I plainly find I have less twitchings about my toes since these ministers are sick, and out of town, and that I don't dine with them. I would compound for a light easy gout, to be perfectly well in my head. Pray walk when the frost comes, young ladies go a frost biting. It comes into my head, that, from the very time you first went to Ireland, I have been always plying you to walk and read. The young fellows here have begun a kind of fashion to walk, and many of them have got swinging strong shoes on purpose. It has got as far as several young lords. If it told, it would be a very good thing. Lady Lucy, one, and I are fallen out. She rails at me, and I have left visiting her. 5. M.D. was very troublesome to me last night in my sleep. I was a dreamed method that Stella was here. I asked her after Dingley, and she said she had left her in Ireland, because she designed her stay to be short, and such stuff. Monsieur Poncharton, the Secretary of State in France, and Monsieur Fontenelle, the Secretary of the Royal Academy there, who writ the Dialogues des Morts, etc., have sent letters to Lord Pembroke, that the Academy have, with the King's consent, chosen him one of their members, in the room of one who is lately dead. But the cautious gentleman has given me the letters, to show my Lord Dartmouth and Mr. St. John, our two secretaries, and let them see there is no treason in them, which I will do on Wednesday, when they come from Hampton Court. The letters are very handsome, and it is a very great mark of honor and distinction to Lord Pembroke. I hear the two French ministers are come over again about the peace, but I have seen nobody of consequence to know the truth. I dined today with a lady of my acquaintance, who was sick, in her bedchamber, upon three herrings and a chicken. The dinner was my bespeaking. We begin now to have chestnuts and Seville oranges. Have you the latter yet? 'Twas a terrible windy day, and we had processions in carts of the Pope and the Devil, and the butchers rang their cleavers. You know this is the 5th of November, popery and gunpowder. 6. Since I am used to this way of writing, I fancy I could hardly make out a long letter to M.D. without it. I think I ought to allow for every line taken up by telling you where I dined. But that will not be above 7 lines in all, half a line to a dinner. Here Ingoldsby, too, is going over, and they say here he is to be made a lord. Here was I staying in my room till 2 this afternoon for that puppy Sir Andrew Fountain, who was to go with me into the city, and never came, and if I had not shot a dinner flying with one Mr. Murray, I might have fasted, or gone to an alehouse. You never said one word of Goody Stoyt in your letter, but I suppose these winter nights we shall hear more of her. Does the Provost 3 laugh as much as he used to do? We reckon him here a good-for-nothing fellow. I design to write to your dean one of these days, but I can never find time, nor what to say. I will think of something. But if D.D. 4 were not in Ireland, I believe seriously I should not think of the place twice a year. Nothing there ever makes the subject of talk in any company where I am. 7. I went today to the city on business, but stopped at a printer's, and stayed there. It was a most delicious day. I hear the Parliament is to be prorogued for a fortnight longer, I suppose, either because the Queen has the gout, or that Lord Treasurer is not well, or that they would do something more towards a peace. I called at Lord Treasurer's at noon, and sat a while with Lord Harley, but his father was asleep. A bookseller has reprinted her new title A Sermon of Tom Swift's, 5, printed last year, and publishes an advertisement calling it Dr. Swift's Sermon. Some friend of Lord Galway, 6, has, by his directions, published a 4-shilling book about his conduct in Spain. To defend him, I have but just seen it. But what care you for books, except Presto's Miscellanies? Lee promised to call and see me, but is not yet. I hope he will take care of his cargo, and get your Chester box. A murrain take that box, everything is spoiled, that is in it. How does the strong box do? You say nothing of Raymond. Is his wife brought to bed again? Or how, has he finished his house, paid his debts, and put out the rest of the money to use? I am glad to hear poor Joe is like to get his £200. I suppose Trim is now reduced to slavery again. I am glad of it. The people were as great rascals as the gentlemen. But I must go to bed, sirs. The secretary is still at Hampton Court with my papers, or is come only to dash night. They plague me with attending them. 8. I was with the secretary this morning, and we dined with Prior, and did business this afternoon till about 8, and I must alter and undo, and a clutter. I am glad the Parliament is prorogued. I stayed with Prior till 11, the secretary left us at 8. Prior, I believe, will be one of those employed to make the peace, when a Congress is opened. Lord Ashburnham told today at the coffee house that Lord Harley, 7, was yesterday morning married to the Duke of Newcastle's daughter, the great heiress, and it got about all the town. But I saw Lord Harley yesterday at noon in his nightgown, and he dined in the city with Prior and others. So it is not true, but I hope it will be so, for I know it has been privately managing this long time. 8. The lady will not have half her father's estate, for the Duke left Lord Pelham's son his heir. 9. The widow Duchess will not stand to the will, and she is now at law with Pelham. However, at worst, the girl will have about £10,000 a year to support the honor, for Lord Treasurer will never save a groat for himself. Lord Harley is a very valuable young gentleman, and they say the girl is handsome, and has good sense, but red hair. 9. I designed a jaunt into the city today to be merry, but was disappointed. So one always is in this life, and I could not see Lord Dartmouth today, with whom I had some business. Business and pleasure both disappointed. You can go to your dean, and for want of him, Goody Stoit, or Walls, or Manly, and meet everywhere with cards and claret. I dined privately with a friend on the herring and chicken, and half a flask of Bad Florence. I begin to have fires now, when the mornings are cold. I have got some loose bricks at the back of my grate for good husbandry. Fine weather. Patrick tells me my caps are wearing out. I know not how to get others. I want a necessary woman strangely. I am as helpless as an elephant. I had 3 packets from the Archbishop of Dublin, cost me 4 shillings, all about Higgins, 10, printed stuff, and 2 long letters. His people forgot to enclose them to Lewis, and they were only directed to Dr. Swift, without naming London or anything else. I wonder how they reached me, unless the postmaster directed them. I have read all the trash, and am weary. 10. Why, if you must have it out, something is to be published of great moment. 11. And 3 or 4 great people are to see there are no mistakes in point of fact. And 'tis so troublesome to send it among them, and get their corrections, that I am weary as a dog. I dined today with the printer, and was there all the afternoon. And it plagues me, and there's an end, and what would you have? Lady Dublin, Lord Treasurer's daughter, 12, is brought to bed of a son. Lord Treasurer has had an ugly return of his gravel. 'Tis good for us to live in gravel pits, 13, but not for gravel pits to live in us. A man in this case should leave no stone unturned. Lord Treasurer's sickness, the Queen's gout, the forwarding the peace, occasion putting off the Parliament a fortnight longer. My head has had no ill returns. I had good walking today in the city, and take all opportunities of it on purpose for my health. But I can't walk in the park, because that is only for walking's sake, and loses time, so I mix it with business. I wish MD walked half as much as Presto. If I was with you, I'd make you walk. I would walk behind or before you, and you should have masks on, and be tucked up like anything. And Stella's naturally a stout walker, and carries herself firm. Methinks I see her strut, and step clever over a kennel, and Dingley would do well enough, if her petticoats were pinned up. But she is so embroiled, and so fearful, and then Stella scolds, and Dingley stumbles, and is so daggled. 14. Have you got the whalebone petticoats among you yet? I hate them. A woman here may hide a moderate gallant under them. Saw, what's all this I'm saying? Methinks I am talking to MD face to face. 11. Did I tell you that old fraud? 15. The old fool is selling his estate at Peperara, and is skulking about the town nobody knows where? And who do you think manages all this for him, but that rogue child? 16. The double squire of Farnham. I have put Mrs. Masham, the Queen's favorite, upon buying it, but that is yet a great secret, and I have employed Lady Oglethorpe to inquire about it. I was with Lady Oglethorpe today, who has come to town for a week or two, and tomorrow I will see to hunt out the old fool. He is utterly ruined, and at this present in some blind alley with some dirty wench. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.